How many of you know when you give, you always receive? You always get back more than you've given most of the time. So keep that in mind, and they'll let us know what day we're going to do that and be prepared to sow that seed. Well, it's Easter another time. Palm Sunday today and Easter next Sunday. Very, very special time of the year for all of us who believe and have given our life to serve God and depend on Him every day. And I was thinking about truth. Easter is the foundation of truth. Men search for truth today in many different ways, but real truth is found in God's Word and in the life that Jesus portrayed here on earth. God loved us so much that He allowed His only begotten Son to come here and to live before us. I love the Bible because the Bible is basically a history book. When I think about Palm Sunday, I think about the attitude that was going on during that time, the atmosphere, what Jesus was going through. And to be honest with you, it's not a lot different than today. I think about the Word of God being a history book. I'm going to tie this together, so stay with me. Because the Bible's not just a book of fantasy, a book of fairy tales, a book of what they thought. Actually, the Bible is a record of actual people who actually saw what they saw and documented it. And then God allowed it to be all put together, as we know today, as a holy Bible. But it's actually a history. And when you go back to the life of Christ, He allowed these words to be written, for we believe that the Bible is inspired of God, that every word is God breathed and man wrote as what they saw. And God chose several of these people to write this and put it together. And when I begin to think about what was really happening on Palm Sunday, we know that as to be a very special time in the life of Christ. And a week later, they'd want to crucify Him or do crucify Him. But you got to know that Jesus never intended everybody to just go out like they did, because that's not the way He operated. But as you know, the story is when He was coming into town, they were laying the palm leaves down and all this stuff. And Jesus was just riding in, and they made a big celebration out of it. You got to understand, this was big for Jesus because He knew that His time was at hand. And there was an element, and this part I want you to get, that always wanted to stop Him, that always wanted to kill Him. Jesus had really destroyed religion, because He brought a face of God to the people that wasn't wrapped up in ceremonies and ritualism. It was relationship, that God wanted us to know that He wants a real relationship with us. So when Jesus appears on this donkey, you got to understand that many times they had tried to find Him, many times they had tried to corner Him up, many times they had tried to put Him in a place where they could get Him and kill Him before now. But it just lets me know that God's always in control, and Jesus never allowed anything to happen to Him. God never allowed anything to happen to Jesus that He did not want to happen. It happened on God's time. You get that? It happened on God's time. So now He's coming in, and all these people are just celebrating and worshiping, and they're throwing these palm leaves down, throwing their clothes down. Why? Because He symbolized a different kingdom. He symbolized a different rulership. Now, I want you to note right here. The people in that town were furious. The leadership was furious. And this was the straw that broke the camel's back. Because now this man who they have tried to defame from the beginning, oh, he's just a carpenter's son, because that's how the enemy always does. The enemy wants you to always believe a lie rather than the truth. But I want you to understand, truth still prevails today. God's word is truth. And so truth is coming in now on a donkey. And again, keep in mind, Jesus didn't call out, you know, go tell everybody just welcome me and just really lift me up. He didn't do that. They did that because he had brought such a change through their lives. And now he's coming in, and the people against him were furious. And they begin to meet, and they begin to put things together and say, we're going to stop this because he's ruining our plans. He's destroying, and this is it. He thinks he's a king. He thinks he's a ruler. I want you to know he's false, and we're going to destroy him. I want to tell you something. The devil has a lot of that same attitude today, because people say the resurrection and Jesus dying and coming up again, all that's just a bunch of lies. And they say that we Christian people are so weak that we got to lean on stuff like that, but it's just philosophy. It's not real. It's not true. It never happened. Well, we know that's not true. We know that's a lie. But I want to share a thought that the Lord gave me about truth, because truth prevails above everything. Truth always prevails, even though lies try to come in, and there is an enemy out there who will always tell you that relationship with God is not important. Long as you go to church, long as you do this, and long as you do that, you're going to be fine. But how many of you know that salvation is not based on what you do, it's based on who he is? Amen? We're saved by faith, not by what we do. So I want to read a scripture to you, if you will. Turn to John 11, and I got a couple things I want to share with you today. I hope that will enlighten you a little bit. But keep in mind, the ceremony is going on now. And I asked the Lord to give me something fresh here, because I know we're all familiar with the Palm Sunday and how everything was going on. But what they were actually doing, they were attacking truth. And the reason we have Easter, the reason next Sunday is coming, and the reason we celebrate Easter is that God established truth, so that you would never have to doubt again that he is who he says he is. All right? Now, in this particular story here is about Lazarus, and you all know that, but we're going to read it for reference sake. John chapter 11, verse 17 says, "And then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already." You know, Mary and Martha have been trying to get Jesus to come. Jesus didn't come when he said he would. I know the enemy will tell you, you pray about something, and it don't happen just the way you think. See there, I told you it wasn't going to work. All that stuff's just in the mind. All that stuff is just these church people psychologically just blow your mind with all this hype stuff. It's not real. Hang on. So Mary and Martha's over there, and they're upset because their brother's dead. He's not dying, he's now dead. "Now Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was still in the house," because she's mad. "I ain't talking to Jesus. I'm mad at him. "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not be dead now. It's your fault. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to you." So she hadn't totally given up. Verse 23, and Jesus said, "Thy brother shall rise again." Truth. God is the giver of life. In verse 24, Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said unto her, and this is good right here, "I am the resurrection. And not only am I the resurrection, but I'm the life. And he that believeth," he that believes. You see, there's a system out there that don't want you to believe. There's a system out there that don't want you to believe in the word. So it attacks the word and tells you the word is not true. But that can't be true, because all this Bible is documentation of actual events that people saw. It's like I go to you and you've been on vacation somewhere and you saw some great monument or whatever you saw it. You know it's there. Well, I had never been, so I don't know if it's there or not. Well, I can tell you it's there. I seen it. I touched it. It's there. You see, there's that spirit out there that says, "Oh, this church mess, you just don't get wrapped up in church, it'll mess your mind up." Where do you think that's coming from? He says, "I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believes in me, though he were dead, he's going to live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" So he ends up with a question. So here's where we're at now. He said, "Mary and Martha, you're going to have to learn to believe. What do you believe? Your belief is no better than the foundation you believe in. The object you believe in, your faith is no greater than the object you believe in. You cannot just believe in church. Church is not where your faith is. Your faith is in God. You cannot believe in man. Man is not where your faith is. Your faith has got to be in God." Amen? You are built with that relationship. Church is a part of it. People are a part of it. Yeah, I love church. I thank God. That's the best day of my life is on Sundays. I love being here. I love doing what I do. I'm the happiest these few minutes than I am all week long. Because this is what I'm supposed to do. Because this is the only real thing that I do that really matters. Making money for some company or whatever, that don't really matter. But what really matters to me is that I'm giving out words of life. And I can't hardly wait to get here to tell you what God's told me this week to tell you. And I just want you to know what He said. And because He is truth. Whatever you're facing right now, there is truth in it. There's truth that's going to bring you through it. But now I know you're going to hear a bunch of lies about it. Because that's how the enemy works. So, here comes Jesus. Jesus has only fulfilled prophecy in the Palm Sunday. He's never gone nowhere and said, "I'm great, I'm this, I'm that, you need to follow." He just did what God does. He just brought truth. You know the story here with Lazarus. Then Jesus called him out and he came out, because he's the resurrection. So Easter is that remembrance for us. Thank God that we serve a God that we set a day aside that in this world to remember what it's all about. It's all about that Jesus is truth. Why people don't believe in the resurrection is beyond me, but I tell you why. Because people believe in a lot of different things. Why don't people believe in the resurrection? Because they have believed in people. They have believed in churches. They believed in systems. But again, I tell you, your faith is not in those. Your faith is to be in God. So some people will say, "Well, I believe in the resurrection because the Bible says." Well, I want you to understand something. The Bible's not always been here. Before time, the Bible hadn't been written yet. But what was happening is events that were going on that would eventually be in the Bible that we could look back on. But thousands of people believed before the Bible ever was written. Thousands of people believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, and because they believe what people said. Let's go to Matthew. Look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these men. I just want to reference the men. Matthew was an eyewitness. An eyewitness of what happened. When you read Matthew, you see, and what you read is what he saw. There's another man by the name of Mark. He gave chronicle accounts of everything that they went through. He wrote it down. You know, Jesus, when he resurrected, he stayed here a little while and they ate fish on the beach. Jesus is a bad man, and he's bad. You know, he had to be from around here because he loves fish and he loves the beach. Right, that's a side note. You ain't got to believe it. Amen. But what happens when people see things? Social media came in. Facebook wasn't even here. That might have been Facebook back then. I don't know. But, you know, they just started telling them what they saw. And so Luke says, if you read Luke, it was Matthew, Mark, Luke wrote. He said, I decided to write this down. John, he said, I was an eyewitness. He looked into the tomb. He said, I seen it. So when you read that, you got to understand that Jesus, you know, is real, not because the Bible says so, even though we know the Bible is God's word, but God's word came from people that God inspired to write what they saw. So the resurrection has to be true because more than one saw it. James, you know, Peter. You know, Peter wrote all the letters to the churches and all that. And then there was one James. Now, James is a little bit unique. He was the brother of Jesus. And when I began to study about him, you know, I found it quite interesting that he didn't follow Jesus as Lord until after the resurrection. It's kind of hard to say your brother's the son of God. Amen? Brothers are brothers. And so I don't know if something happened, you know, but anyhow, he didn't start following. But James, if you've ever read the book of James, that is so deep. What I'm saying is he wrote it out of convinced. Look, I know he was real. He was my brother. I know he was real. Paul. It was written, you know, scholars will tell you this, and some of the college professors will tell you this, that Paul did more to spread the gospel than anybody else in the Bible. And what was his message? Jesus has been risen from the dead. Jesus is alive. And then you get over there to Rome. I'm not going to take time to bore you with a lot of history, but I love history, and I can get into it. Some of y'all might know and might have studied about Roman emperors. You remember Nero? There were two things about Nero. Two things that everybody in the world knows. All right, the first one was that he set Rome on fire. You remember when Rome was on fire? Nero did that. What's the second thing that everybody remembers about Nero? He blamed it on the Christians. He blamed it on the Christians. And then he brought persecution against the Christians 30 years after the resurrection. Now, why could Nero persecute Christians 30 years after the resurrection? Because 10 years after the resurrection, there were thousands who believed. 20 years after the resurrection, there were thousands who believed. 30 years after the resurrection, they were still believing that he's alive. He's risen from the dead. I've seen it, or I know somebody that has seen it, and we believe. So he blamed Christians. He blamed them trying to stop that movement of Christianity. What does all that mean? Truth prevails. Time went on, and they took these writings of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Peter, and Paul, and all these writings, and all these letters, and they put them in a document called, we call it the New Testament, 200 years after the resurrection. And then the Jewish scripture, which we call the Old Testament, but the Jews call it their scripture, they combine that with the New Testament and they put it all together, and we call it a Holy Bible. But it records from Genesis to Revelation the acts of God. And when it says that on the third day he come out of that tomb, that's not philosophy, that's not hope so, that's not maybe so, but that's actual documents that men wrote down. And I can see John now, as I stuck my head in that tomb, there won't nobody in there. And we're going to talk about some more next week. We're going to finish this on, because you remember when the next day when they went to the tomb, they weren't expecting him to be gone. They were expecting him to still be there, because they didn't even really believe what was going on. But we're going to talk about that. So what's all this message about today as we close this morning? This message is about that we have a message. And that message is that Jesus is resurrected. It's a documented finding. It is truth. It is truth that's been prevailed through all generations. Nero couldn't put it out. Nobody can put it out. Nobody can stop it. Hitler can't stop it. Nobody can stop it. Because God is real. His word is real. And the power of the resurrection is real. And I stand before you today because of the resurrection, saved by grace. My home is not here. I'm just passing through. There's a place in heaven for me because of the resurrection. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you will. Page 278. Time just flies when we're having fun. Just seemed like I got started. It's time to go. Some of y'all say, amen. Amen. This is a beautiful song here. Open my eyes that I might see. It falls right in with the message today. Open my eyes, God, because there's going to be an enemy out there, young people, older people alike, middle age. There's going to come a time when that voice says, don't believe that. It's not real. It is real. God still resurrects. If you'd only believe, all things are possible. Let's sing that first verse. Whatever we're going through, whatever we're dealing with, whatever situation may be coming around us, no matter how dark the storm may be or how bright the sun might be, God, you're still Lord and you're Master. You are the resurrected Lord. You're alive and are alive forevermore. Your word is alive, and we base our life on truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you this morning. Thank you for being here.